for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Final service of Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting, Monday morning, September the 4th, 2000. Chuck Flynn is the minister of the morning from Orange, California.
Well, hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord. And am I on here?
Yes, you're on.
Does it sound good? Thank you for coming out this morning. This is our last session of this particular theme and camp meeting. I would like to get into the glory of God in the blood of sprinkling and a new dimension of a power and anointing. But let's begin with Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll just go to the third verse. Some of the most beautiful writings to sum up the full counsel of God is in the book of Hebrews. It's wonderful to, you can, just about the same way you look at Psalms, there's so much in Psalms that even the 15th chapter of Psalms goes into the great things, the millennium, the thousand-year reign, and the new Jerusalem, and the things of God that are beautiful. In other words, the 15th Psalm said, the backbiter cannot go into the temple of the Lord at New Jerusalem. The word backbiter is an interesting word in the Hebrew. He who walks on my back with his tongue. And so that gives us a little explanation going in with no tongue shall rise against you. And so we thank God that the Lord sets us free. Hallelujah. Of he who walks on my back with his tongue. Now let's look at verse 1, Hebrews 1. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. That'd be a good time to underline, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being, now this is Jesus, who being the brightness, let there be light, the authority now of that Lamb of God anointing is brightness. So forever there'll be no need for the sun or the moon, but the Lamb will be the light thereof. So he is the brightness of his glory. There is a word there that's used, effulgence, in many of the commentaries. It's the pureness of light, the brightness of the resurrection, the brilliance of the Lord is something hard for us to imagine. He's the effulgence of the glorious purity of true light, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Underline the word person.
Yes.
Now, in your notes or in your Bible on the margin, write the Greek word used by the Holy Ghost for person. Hupostasis is the word. Hupostasis. Hupostasis. H-U-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-S. Hupostasis is that imagery of the Father. And so he's the image of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And then right in there, Psalms 110, verse 1. You'll find that Psalms 110 is one of those tremendous pivot points of the Word of God. Study Psalms 110. It's the whole order, and also 1 Corinthians 10. It goes back to that particular quoting from Psalms 110. So it is beautiful. The Lord said unto my Lord, the Father said unto my Lord, the Son, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies your footstool. The womb of the morning is in that chapter of Psalms. Also, verse 4 deals with Jesus as the high priest. One of the great arguments of Scripture, the Holy Ghost felt it important to bring to you and I, is that Jesus is the high priest, not after Levitical tradition, because he's of the tribe of Judah. So the Lord then has been chosen as Melchizedek was chosen. And it uses that example. And I'm one that don't believe Melchizedek was a supernatural individual. I feel that Melchizedek was a man that was chosen, as Hebrews 5 brings out, with strong crying and tears. Jesus became the captain of our salvation. So you take the context, and you'll see that that context brings out that our Lord even was in the fashion of Melchizedek, as he had strong crying and tears. So, therefore, Melchizedek, having no father, no mother, no beginning or end of days, is speaking of the priestly order. Therefore, it wouldn't be kosher. It wouldn't be the right exegetical studies of dividing the word to do that. He is after the order of Melchizedek, an individual that did not receive it by inheritance. Melchizedek was appointed king and priest because not having any father or mother means they did not give him the office, not having beginning or ending. Well, anyway, those are things that we consider, and it's good to talk about the Word of God. And but then it brings out in Hebrews 5, he said, I want to tell you more. Verse 11, would you underline that in Hebrews 5, verse 11. This is the tremendous thought in this area of Scripture, of whom we have many things to say. Now, this is what shuts down revelation of the Word. You think, well, my goodness, we have everything revealed. No, we don't. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, there's a lot more around the corner, darling. You get with it and get the dullness of hearing off of you. Of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing your condition. Seeing you are dull of hearing. Would you underline the word dull? And that word dull is the Greek word nothros. Nothros. N-O-T-H-R-O-S. Now, nothros is a very peculiar word. It means, of course, dullness, slothful. But the original Greek intention was former teaching has limited the vision of Jesus in you.
Amen.
You're limited to what I can tell you about Jesus. So that's why evangelical world, they will go for him as long as he benefits them. Get fire insurance to miss hell. Get promoted in your particular framework of groupism, that which you're comfortable with and believe like you do. Dull of hearing. Because former teaching has limited the vision or revelation of Jesus.
Amen.
In your life. Therefore, the writer of the book of Hebrews just was shut down having the revelation. So I loose the revelation.
Amen.
I loose the capacity of glory in your life. That no restraints in Jesus' name, no former teaching is keeping us in a shell or in the imagery of the tradition.
Yeah.
You might have felt comfortable in it for a while, but let's go on. Go on to Zion. Hallelujah. So now we have in Hebrews 1, he's the express image of the person. Now, why did we mention the Greek word for person? Let's go now to chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the hypostasis. You see it? The faith movement has missed the movement. Sorry to say that, but a lot of good people, but the true faith anointing, the express image of his person, is the Father moving in your life. You get the Father's authority, and you won't be so thrilled with just your own prosperity.
Yeah. Amen.
It's good to be prosperous. All these things are good, but don't put the cart before the horse.
Not a doctor.
It's the image of his person. Faith is the person of the Father.
Amen.
The substance. Amen. The evidence of things not seen. He will, as he told Abraham, things that be not, you're going to believe they are. In every facet of life, it's good. It's a hard thing to teach something like this because it seems like many go the other way of the pendulum, but it's good to be in somewhat of a balance. Amen. But don't you thank God that the Father is the authority of the faith within you. Father and the Son. Amen. So this is where the Lord is saying, you will come into a substance of authority and the glory of this power that upholds all things by the word of my power. And that's the substance of glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what he's looking for in you and I. Now let's go to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. In this portion of Scripture, Hebrews 12, I like verse 2, looking unto Jesus. All the verses are wonderful. It teaches here the tremendous position of every believer. And don't be robbed of your birthright. Know what your birthright is. That's Hebrews 12. That's the essence of it. We've come in to Mount Zion. What is Mount Zion? Would you like to look at that 22nd verse? See, Sister Wadsworth Eder was teaching a prayer meeting, and the Lord gave her this revelation. She was just looking at Hebrews 12, and she saw something in verse 18, and she just spoke that out, underline it, for ye are not come, that's it, for you are not come, in verse 18. The mount, in other words, religious tradition from Mount Sinai. In verse 22, but ye are come. You're not come to the tradition, even though it was a great, great experience of Sinai, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. Now, Zion is the fifth level of Jerusalem. Jerusalem has five levels. And so we have Acra, A-K-R-A, is the residential area. See, Israel did not, when Joshua came in to take Canaan's land, they never did take Jerusalem until David. Jerusalem, Satan wanted to hold on, and the Jebusites had Jerusalem. So when David was made king for 7 years, he was in Hebron. And then he took the mighty men up to Jerusalem, and what they said about David, the blind, the lame, could turn David back. And so they ridiculed David and his God. So David just said, the men who takes Zion, I'll give them a promotion. So they went up through the cisterns that were dry. So there's the great message there, as you've probably heard before. So Acra is the first level. That's where a person has a little bit of respect for God. It's the kind of person that will come to worship on Easter. And maybe now and then do something that's recognized by others for people of God or a church and make a donation. Acra, it's the first level of sort of a religious intent. Bezitha is the second level where the religious group that loves the robes and loves the beads and loves the candles and all the ritual, Bezitha, B-A-Z-E-T-H-A, or B-O. Bezitha is the second level. These are all just studied in the Word. And that's that religious area. Then you go on up to the third level of Jerusalem, and that is Moriah. Now, that's where those that are not interested in just the ritual, they're born again, they come into Moriah, they know the authority of the cross, Abraham going to offer up Isaac and the ram in the thicket, they know the gospel is Moriah. The foundation of the temple. Oh, they love the great edifices. And they love somewhat of a gospel. Just enough to make them dangerous. The fighting fundies are on Moriah. Now, the next level, the fourth level, is Ophel. O-P-H-E-L. And Ophel is where the Pool of Siloam is. And that's where you leave that third level. You're filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The anointing comes upon you, takes the scales from your eyes. As Jesus sent the blind man there, made spittle out of the dust, Jesus did, put it on the man's eyes. Creative power was in effect. He went then to Ophel, the Pool of Siloam, and he was washed and could see. Then the fifth level of Zion, or fifth level of Jerusalem, is Mount Zion. Now that's where David, when you go on in to the authority of having your eyes open to the glory of God, you go into the very presence, and Mount Zion is where David's tabernacle was. There was over 10,000 singers that were chosen day and night, and David wrote many psalms looking at the Ark of the Covenant. The difference of Shiloh means a transition. It means a very great travail of authority where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. But then David put the Ark of the Covenant in Mount Zion. So there was a restriction at Shiloh. Just those that were the order, the high priest could see the glory of God in the Ark of the Covenant. But on the tabernacle, or in the tabernacle of David, everyone could see the glory of God. All you had to do is go to Zion. Amen. Don't stop anywhere else. Go on up. And that's why we have come to Mount Zion. That's exactly why it is. When you come to into the Christian faith and the anointing of the Lord, go on to Zion, where David's tabernacle is. And Amos prophesied in 9:11 that this is the prophecy, the tabernacle of David will be restored. So Ezekiel comes along in the last verse of the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is telling how the priests are contaminated and how the people and how the leadership is. And then God just, Ezekiel expresses the heart of God, and God said, oh, that I could find a man that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap. The word gap is very interesting. The Hebrew word, it's in your Spirit-filled Life Bible. And Dick Mills' son, David Mills, he looked that up, and I thought it was a great revelation. It flows in two dimensions. The man who stands in the gap and makes the hedge is the man who will restore David's tabernacle. From Amos 9:11. It's right there in that Hebrew word. And also from Isaiah, where it says that Jesus is the repairer of the breach. The man who stands in the gap is not a man that just has a fresh revelation or some kind of a spiritual capability. The man who stands in the gap is the man that will allow the Holy Ghost to use him and repair the breach. And also restore Mount Zion, David's tabernacle. Now, when Peter took some of the brethren up to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius was filled in his household with the Holy Ghost and fire, Peter came down to the first church meeting later on, and the brethren, the ones who were filled with the Holy Ghost, they still kept the Mosaic tradition. Even though they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they thought it was not leadership quality of Peter, even though his shadow healed the sick. Tough luck, whatever that means. Even though the signs follow. We want somebody to follow our signs, and that's circumcision. And Peter was taken out of office. The word doesn't deal with it. It just says it happened. And the first meeting of the church was this young man who was Jesus' half-brother. And they put him in charge because they couldn't control him. Filled with the Holy Ghost. He was there on the day of Pentecost, James was. And all of the events of the day, see, when you stand in the gap, you're on a limb and nobody's there but Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Peter went up there and obeyed the Father and was zip, taken out of authority. Amen. That's beautiful. You want me to continue a little bit? So now, James is in charge, but yet James, he wrote a book. It's very good. But when it comes to allowing ministries to progress from glory to glory, there's this tendency to have everybody do and think like you do. So Peter's gone. And now Peter gets a little subconscious. He gets a little leery. So he don't want, he even took two men with him just so they wouldn't do what they did. He took two of the circumcision with him. He knew good and well he's in for it. And I rebuke that peer pressure, that religious corporation of promotion. You don't do what we want you to do, you won't get a better church. You stick it out. We'll just pass you around where they've learned to pray you out of. Every 2 years, people only stand you about 2 years. Or you can't stand. We're in a mess. Doesn't matter who's at fault. We need to bind that corporate spirit. I'm searching for a man that will stand in the gap. And all the decrees that I've given, the decrees, you're going to repair the breach. There's a breach of all the things that I want my people to come into. There's been a breach, and that repairing of the breach is one of the greatest office of ministries.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And so when James, what did he hear? He heard Peter say, the Gentiles have received the Holy Spirit. And that's why they got after him. See, they've received. Then Paul and Barnabas got up, and they told what glorious miracles of their first missionary journey. And then James says, which was true, this is the tabernacle of David. He put it into the book of Acts, chapter 15, and that's exactly where we should be. Hallelujah. Miracles. And everyone receiving the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so there's your tremendous authority of standing in the gap. So we've come to Mount Zion. And after Mount Zion then, this is what he's saying to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, to the General Assembly, Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to... Notice, now, in my Bible, I've taken and circled those little prepositions. To. A preposition refers and connects with something else. So, to Zion, and just go through there, and to God, to the spirits, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. It starts out with God is speaking through his Son. It's ending up with the great shepherd of the sheep, and he that's speaking is going to shake everything. Hallelujah. And you and I are going to be where there is no shaking. Amen. That authority that everything is going to be shaken, but we have come to these dimensions of grace and glory. Now, yesterday morning at Trinity, I mentioned that there was a scripture. I was reading Genesis at one time, and I prayed the Father. I said, is there any scripture to tell us your earliest existence? He upholdeth all things by the word of his power. And so the Lord gave me, I want you just for recognition of spiritual revelation, Titus. Look at the book of Titus. In fact, if you haven't read Titus lately, it's a very good book for evangelism. Titus chapter 1. And verse 2, in this book of Titus, the Apostle Paul gives this pastor in Crete, a small congregation possibly, he gives him one of the greatest revelations of God and the Trinity. And so Titus, just before Philemon, which is just before Hebrews. Titus 1:2, the Apostle Paul says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. It's one of the most powerful scriptures. I always loved it. But then the Holy Ghost one day said, what is before the world began? I said, well, I know that. It's just that, you know, Genesis, before the world began. God knew these things. It's all knowledge of God. And the Lord said, you look this up. And when I looked it up, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. First of all, who did he promise it to? He promised it to the same ones that he said, let us make man in our own image. Then what shocked me was, before the world began, most of your translations will say, before time. I think that's in the Amplified, before time. So I looked it up, and I want you to write these two words down. It means before any creative act. Chronon is C-H-R-O-N-O-N. Chronon, C-H-R-O-N-O-N. That's one word. Aionion is A-I-O-N-I-O-N. Chronon, aionion means before any creative act, at the very beginning, no beginning, but at the very core of all the activity of the Trinity. Only the Trinity was there. The Father spoke of you and I. He spoke of eternal life. Hallelujah. And if the Father's in charge then, before anything was created, or time, then He's in charge today. Amen. So this is what the Bible is saying. The Father promised the Trinity eternal life, not for them, but for His eternal strategy and wisdom before any creative act. Hallelujah. So then the Father takes the Word, which is Jesus, and by Him creates all things. Mount Palomar says we have about 2 million galaxies. Now our universe is in one galaxy called the Milky Way. And I saw one of the German scientists went in several areas of the world. It was in Life magazine, a picture of our galaxy. Tremendous. It's very thick, and then it goes out on each end. But the mileage that's involved from one end to the next, that's only one galaxy. So you and I are blessed of God. If we can get through all the debris that holds us to the earth, but we get our spirit and our soul in tune, how gracious it is that then by Him all things were made, then the earth was created, and then, of course, Lucifer, Michael, Gabriel, all the angels, the created beings. Then Ezekiel gives us a little insight that God gave Lucifer the right to bless the Word. The Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Father is represented by Michael. Gabriel represents the Holy Ghost. And some feel this is that. And Lucifer was in charge and has the covering cherub and created to bring forth the glory of God for the Son and to praise the Trinity. He was in charge of all praise. What's that? Ezekiel 20, some 28, something like that. But then there's a verse there. Would you like to look at that? It's pertinent for what we're dealing with. Ezekiel 28:12, I believe it is. This is the older Holy Ghost ministers would speak this. Son of man, now this is not the Hebrew of the Baranosh of Jesus, son of man, in Daniel 7:13. This is another Hebrew word for just a son of man, like man. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Say unto him, thus saith the Lord God. Now underline, thou sealest up the sum. That is the 12th verse of Ezekiel 28. Underline, thou sealest up the sum. That's interesting. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, then begins to uphold this tremendous creature. That's more than just the king of Tyrus. Here we're talking about he was in the Garden of Eden, and of course, everyone knows this is talking about Lucifer. God had adorned Lucifer in creation that he was the covering cherub. But here's something that's very interesting. He gave Lucifer the right of all of the plans and purposes of God. And Ezekiel records it, sealed up the purposes and plans of Almighty God before Adam was ever created. That's interesting, isn't it? Lucifer usurped authority. He not only said, I'm going to rise above the throne, he took all of the purposes of the Father and sealed them up. That's why the book of Revelation, the Lamb is the only one to break the seal. It's because Lucifer was directly connected to the Word. And that's why before then the foundation of the world was millions possibly of years later. That when God made the earth was here no telling how long.
That's right.
Lucifer was in charge and there was beings on the earth. If you want to know what those beings look like, just watch television and ask Hollywood. Disembodied spirits. And so in Genesis 1:2, Michael threw, cast is the word, Lucifer out of heaven. And of course, in Revelation 4 or 5 it is, he took the angels, a third, with him. Now there's where we have that tremendous glory at this transaction. It's recorded in Ephesians 1:3. All right, let's leave. He's already sealed up the sum. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and verse 3. So you think, well, boy, Revelation's so hard to understand. All these seals and this great judgments and things. But when you know what's happening, is that Jesus was destined to die. Go into the heart of the earth and destroy the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? To seal up the purposes of the Father from you and I. And so when Jesus came out, John said, man, he came out, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I've restored that power. Amen. How great is our salvation. And he has the keys of death and of hell. Not only that,
But God, at the foundation of the world, put it in your notes, Revelation 13, verse 8, compares the Antichrist and his reign, that many that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will follow the Antichrist. But it says their names that follow the Antichrist are not written in the Book of Life of the Lamb. Now, the Lamb, is that it? Is that it? No. The Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Now, that's one of the great mysteries. But in Ephesians 1:3, let's see something about that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all, please underline, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In other words, they're already purchased now. They're in the safe of glory, and Jesus is the key. All spiritual blessing. Everything. Just like Bezalel, the Holy Ghost came upon him. And Moses gave Bezalel the right, Exodus 35. And he had all kinds of workmanship and inventions and mining and tapestry and diamond cutting and everything. The man had all kinds of craftsmanship. The Holy Ghost is not, you know, for us to shout at camp meeting time. You're to be blessed in everything you touch.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. So now he says he's given unto us all spiritual. The word spiritual, I'd like to have you write that down, is pneumenticus. P-N-E-U-M-E-N-T-I-K-A or K-O-S. The singular is pneumentica. The plural is pneumenticus, which I like to use here. It's all spiritual blessing. Now, pneuma means what? Breath, air, blast. And so the Greek for Holy Spirit is pneuma hagios. Hagios is H-A-G-I-O-S, and that means holiness. So pneuma means the breath of holiness, the Holy Ghost. So now spiritual, see, means pneumenticus. Now write down by verse 3, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. And here we have a connection that proves to all evangelicals and all Catholics and everybody else that do not preach the anointing of the Holy Ghost that this is very essential for the Christian. These are not just things to tag on. The word is accessories. Like tongues, the anointing of healing, deliverance is accessories. No, they're essential. So now we have all spiritual blessings. So now in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, I would not have you to be ignorant. In other words, concerning what? Spiritual abilities, charismas, spiritual gifts, brethren, or I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. The word ignorant is agnosio, A-G-N-O-S-I-O. Agnosio means you're agnostic if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's sin to you to deny the power of the Holy Ghost. Agnosio is the word for ignorant. A-G-N-O-S-I-O. Agnostic, that's where we get the word agnostic. Agnostic is the great enemy or the offense of the Christian life. They have just enough religion to hurt them or hurt others. So now God is saying concerning spiritual gifts, the word spiritual is pneumatikos. And then he names them. Speaking in other tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, the vocal gifts. Then you have the mental gifts, our words of knowledge, discernment, and words of wisdom. Then you have the power gifts, faith, healing, and miracles. Those are, of course, the clusters. There's many more abilities, but that's the origin, shoots out from there. Then the fruit of the Spirit. So the Lord then, in fact, in that chapter it says, diversities of tongues. I looked at that and I saw when the Holy Spirit began to deal with me, and in my Christian experience, I found out there was at least 7 levels of the Holy Ghost tongue. The first level of the Holy Ghost tongue is your devotional tongue. Jude, verse 20. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you have your devotional tongue. So you pray in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You've got to have faith to exercise any administration of God, an operation of the Father. So now you've been given the first level of tongues. That's my anointing of my devotional tongue. It's just easy to praise the Lord. Now the next level is my gift tongue. That's when I can speak in tongues to be interpreted. It has a greater unction. It has wisdom that should be applied and not just do something because it feels good. Some people will interrupt a service and maybe give a message over and long and long and long. No, you'll be brief and be positive because you've got to discern the body. There's some people that just do enough to reach that epitome of glory, as in laying hands on people. Don't just lean on people as long as the anointing's through you. But boy, you have that whatever is reversed if you're just leaning on them. It's good to speak authority. So when you speak your gift tongue, that's the second level, to be interpreted. That's why Paul said, do all speak in tongues? He's not talking about the devotional tongue. He's talking about the gift tongue. Amen. Don't let any Baptist pull that one on you.
Amen.
He's talking about the gift tongue that is exercised through faith. Faith is that which I'm giving a tongue to be interpreted. And that's scriptural. Third level of tongue is the tongue of intercession or travail. The travail tongue, this is one of the great weapons of the church that few enter into. But I've seen more people around here at this camp meeting exercising the third level of tongues in most of my travels. And that means you will release yourself. It's not one of these lay me down to sleep tongues. You're half asleep. You're in a travail. You begin to speak in the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost, then you know you're birthing. You know the anointing. And sometimes different physical things. I raise my hands and I'll shake with the anointing of God. The Holy Ghost power is flowing through you. Then you begin to speak a diction of tongue. It begins to be clear. It'll change. I've had 5 or 6witnesses of different languages. In my own life, there's been Assyrian, Hebrew, the Spanish, ancient Latin. One of the great theologians of the South America, Roman Catholic Church, a prayer that none of the other priests knew. When he was fighting, I mean, he just didn't believe it was for the believer, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was at the Villa Maria. Dr. Robert Frost and I was having a great meeting there. Dr. Robert Frost wrote A Glow with the Spirit. I'd like to see that one in print again. But
And we were all just praising the Lord for hours. My hands were raised up. And all of a sudden, the anointing come on me, and I was speaking in tongues, but it was as the language of the third level. And I almost knew that's... I wasn't speaking from my voice or my chest. I was speaking from my toes. My whole being was... And I was speaking this language. And he got out of the circle. We had a great circle there of people that just come. And then they would be filled with the Spirit. And they would join us and praise. The whole place, people, missionaries came from all over the South America. Many were filled with the Spirit. And this particular man, very high up in that particular framework. And he came over to me and hugged me. He came over real briskly. I didn't know if he was going to hit me or hug me. And he told me this story. He said, I don't like this tongues business. I didn't like it. But some of my friends today were filled with the Holy Ghost. And I came down, and he said, I sat there, and I said, Jesus, if this is of you, please show me. And the Lord spoke to him. And says, listen to that big guy. It's exactly what he told me. Listen to that big guy over there. And he says, I turned and listened. And you were praying a prayer that I learned in Spain. Very few other priests know it. I learned it. It's ancient Latin. And you did not miss a vowel or did not miss any kind of diction. It was perfect. He said, I knew. And this Oki don't know any Latin, ancient Latin. And so and we both began to pray. The minute he accepted, see, he had the language of the Spirit. Amen. So that's when tongues was the best gift. Amen. Very few people think tongues the best gift, but it is. Hallelujah. On certain occasions. All right, that's the third level. What you're doing now, let me cap this. You're praying in many languages of the world. Let the Holy Ghost, I've prayed literally, I feel around the world at times. What you're doing is the Holy Spirit's going, getting the need, and it's being siphoned, if you please, through you. God's looking for those that will represent Him in the earth and the earth to Him. So as we are praying in the Spirit of these different languages, what is being, needed to be done, it goes through our high priest. He presents it to the Father, and the Father then takes care of the situation, and that's why you will have what you need before you call, if you've been attentive unto the needs of the Father or the burden of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that third level is one of the great weapons of the church. And the fire of it. And go on in. And that's why Annie's books are so important. It will teach you how to persevere. Go on in your prayer life. Expect for God to release you in a new dimension.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because you'll walk in sustenance and you'll walk in well, blessings will run to get you. Amen. Hallelujah. The fourth level of tongues is the harvest tongue. The harvest tongue is, the Lord said, pray. Now, of course, we know that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit prays through us with groanings, stenagmas. That means the unutterable gushings of the heart. So when you pray the Lord of the harvest, you're praying in tongues. Now, God wants you to pray the harvest prayer so that young men, young ladies, so that ministers, pastors, congregations will be set free to the harvest, to what they're commissioned to do. That's a lot of room on that
fourth level of the harvest tongue. People are not praying. Just we used to have altar services after. Come and just pray and speak in tongues. That's why I was filled with the Spirit of God. It was just expected. We go down and I went down and just knelt down a few minutes and prayed for, as we say, you know, Uncle John, us four no more, and throw in a missionary. And I got up and the Lord said, hey, are you going to serve me or not? And boy, the Holy Ghost come on me. I saw the harvest field. It's just like it's sort of a cornfield. The great long leaves become hands waving. And then I saw faces that since then I've seen and met. And they began to cry out for me to come and to speak and to allow the Lord to use me in the ministry. And I felt, my, God can use anybody but me. I'll just, you know, do what I can. But it's a beautiful thing. And then all of a sudden, I was on my back. And my hallelujahs become very, Isaiah's right, with stammering lip and another tongue. Hallelujah, you know. And then, of course, then about 45 minutes, I was praying and the language of the Spirit came upon me. So the Lord is saying this fourth level is very, very gracious. You're to pray for others, for laborers to go into the field. And that Holy Ghost prayer is the prayer of the throne. Amen. So praise God. Your mind will know what you're doing, but as your spirit prays, my, God's picking out, God's calling, the Lord is dealing. He's setting other ministries free into what He's called them to do. Hallelujah. The fifth level. Hallelujah. It's the glory. The fifth level is the emergency tongue. It's a tongue that comes upon you in times just daily. You're driving or something. Just pray because you're ready for any event. I was studying. The first time the Lord taught me this, I was working on my master's program, and Mary Ann, we had a little apartment after pastoring, our third pastorate, and we just felt like God, we didn't know what to do. I thought I'd be a chaplain for a while, and this, and we were just seeking the Lord, and I was working on my education, and Mary Ann was hired by McDonnell Douglas in the legal department. But she was with our son, who was just a toddler, and they went down to the market. I studied history, you know, anything, just dry history. The Holy Ghost fell on me and said, Mary Ann and Galen are in serious trouble. Their life is at stake. Just quickly, you just, boy, I threw my hands up and began to speak in tongues. And boy, as I prayed in the Spirit, oh, hallelujah, the glory of God just moved. I had confidence. I had the faith. They were all right. I mean, it just seems like God gave it to me. But, ooh, that emergency tongue. And then I went back to study. And 10 minutes later, she'd come in the door, face was really snow white almost, and she said, oh, honey, we were just about killed. And she held the screen door open with her foot, you know, so Galen come in, and she had groceries. I helped her, and I said, honey, don't say any more. 10 minutes ago, the Holy Ghost told me you were in jeopardy. And I said, I prayed. Now tell me. She said she was going up to, going down the road, and there was another car that run a red light stop sign. And she said she just saw it. It looked, it's a big car. And she could just see the grill all the way up, almost to her car. She knew they would be hit. It was such a fright, coming at a high rate of speed. But at the last minute, the angel of the Lord, that's what I feel, moved that car and just missed her. Both drivers were so upset, they pulled to the side and got out and just looked. She said, I had to gain composure before I could drive.
But thanks be unto God. The Holy Ghost is your greatest friend. Amen. For your family, whoever it is, amen. Pray in the Spirit. So that's the emergency tongue. Also, the emergency tongue is sort of a discerning tongue. It's a guiding tongue. It will guide you. I've been driving, going to the bank or maybe other situations or visiting. When I was a pastorate, this happened to me. The Holy Ghost come on me, and I'm just praying in tongues. And so I went over to this house that had visited us, and I went up to the door, and I knew the sister had been in the hospital, but that's about all. But I just felt, well, now's the time. The Spirit of God says, go and hurry. And so I got out real quickly and ran to the door, and I rung the doorbell, and the maid came. And she opened the door, the nurse did. She saw me, and she pointed. She couldn't even talk because the lady was dying and cried out to call me to come. And the lady's testimony is she felt her spirit going. It left her body. She was about up close to the roof. And I stepped in the room and rebuked fear. The spirit of fear left her. She came back in her body, and she's living in Tulsa, Oklahoma today. 30 years later, you can be at the right place, the right time. The nurse was on the way to call me, and I was there. I just loose that authority. Amen. Let's seal it to our forehead. We'll be at the right place, the right time. Loose my brother. Release my sister to be at the right place at the right time. And we thank you for it. Oh, amen. Sixth level of tongues is singing in the Spirit. Some say, well, I can't sing. Well, you're not supposed to sing. You're supposed to just release the harmony of God in your life. God will give you, like He gives you the Holy Ghost tongue, He'll give you the Holy Ghost harmony. I've heard, oh boys, this one brother, George, he just couldn't carry a tune if it's strapped to him, as they used to say. But when the Holy Ghost move on him, and he would flow in to the order of singing the Spirit. The reason why is that the curse is reversed. And when Balaam was trying to curse Israel, all he could do is bless Israel. Because, and that's why the Lord showed me this, that as he looked in the camps of Israel, and the Bible gives one of the most beautiful phrases, it says the shout of a king was amongst them. Hallelujah. It was so beautiful. The shout of a king was amongst them. They didn't need any king. The shout of the king was amongst them. And so that's why every curse was turned to a blessing. So when we sing in the Spirit, as you sing in the Spirit in the morning, every curse against you or around the neighborhood or your children or grandchildren, I don't care what it is reversed against your money, your ministry, this camp. Sing in the Spirit. Amen. That's your fifth level of tongues. And as we sing in the Spirit, and Marianne and I in the home sing in the Holy Ghost, seems like there's a lifting of things that would try to worry us and concern. Hallelujah! Because that's your great weapon of authority. To reverse the curse is the sixth level of tongues. Singing in the Spirit. Lay hands on those grandkids. Lay hands on those loved ones. And amen. Oh, seventh level of tongues is when a congregation is singing in the Spirit then the Holy Ghost seems to shut it off immediately together. Usually that will happen, where there's an enriching. It's a roar of glory.
Amen.
And when that stops, don't try to sing a song quickly. You that are in praise team, you that prophesy, it's not the time to prophesy, not the time for a message. Now, this isn't all. It's just a few moments there when the Father wants to speak to us. When we sing in the Spirit, then it quietens. Wait on the Lord. Just adore Him. And then the Lord, there's not a real rule here because it hadn't been proven too much, but it means that's the Father tongue. Amen. The Father would love to communicate with us. Amen. So now we have, and I'll finish, Ephesians 1, verse 3, where we have all we bless with all spiritual blessings, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So I'm at Ephesians 1, verse 4. I want you to underline, chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, here's the events. I would just like to go through what I feel happened. The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. All right? Now, I looked up foundation of the world. Now, I was shocked at this, Brother Butch. Foundation of the world is the Greek word, only one word, kata. That word kata means downward. And that word, oh my, I've lost that. Kata, it's not pausis, that's the word for rest, but it would be in that. That word is a word that the foundation of the word world means casting down. And then it means creation. Something is conceived. Oh, I got it on the tip of my tongue. It'll come up. Lonzo. Anyway, this is the essence of the teaching, is that kata means something was cast down. Now, it means something is conceived. So Lucifer was cast down at the foundation of the world. That is not the beginning of the earth. It is the restoration. So when Michael cast Lucifer out, and down, that's why Jesus said, I saw Lucifer fall from heaven. And I believe the Father and Michael cast out Lucifer to the earth, and the earth became without form and void, and all the inhabitants, those disembodied spirits, were destroyed, and now that is, some feel, the demons of today. There's a hierarchy, four levels of demonic power is found in Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against four levels of darkness and angels and satanic power. Study that. That's your homework. So now, with Lucifer being cast out, then the Lord, God the Father, comes over to the Word. He's not the Son till Bethlehem. Unto us a Son is given. So when God the Father at the foundation of the world, when Lucifer is cast out, there's a conception. So out of the heart of God, His existence of love, comes out of His voice, if we can say that, this liquid love. And God never expects any of us or the Word to do anything without He supplies the means of doing it. So when He slew the Lamb, He spoke to the Lamb that the Lamb was slain, that you will give your life to restore the kingdom and restore what Lucifer has sealed up and robbed from before Adam was created. This happened. So he spoke to the Lamb, and the Lamb was crucified, but there had to be blood. So that, I feel, is the origin of the blood. The liquid love came out of his voice when he told the Lamb, or told the Word, you will be the Lamb that shall give your life for eternal life. And this is the way that people are redeemed. Then he says, I want to promise you, he keeps going, see, there are many blessings. After the Lamb was slain, then the Father said, I'll give the Holy Ghost to everyone that believes. They'll not only have power over all the Lucifer's offspring, but they will cast out devils, they will take charge, and they will be your bride. And so he began, then he went through all the nine gifts, every spiritual blessing by the Holy Ghost. I promise you the Holy Ghost will come upon every believer, and these are the things, and all blessings were there. They're in heavenly places now, and through Jesus, he unlocks them for us. He's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. He's the repair of the breach. He's the anointed one. And everything we have is in him. Hallelujah. So therefore, this is what I feel, the origin of the blood, the liquid love of the Father before the foundation of the world. But we were chosen in him. At that time, we have already been allocated all these divine abilities to release mankind to serve the Lord. Amen. Well, anyway, that's... That's the portions of authority and through the blood anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, seal your word with your love and the glory of your presence. For if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, saith the Lord. And yea, the Father has lifted me up, and therefore I'll lift you up, and you'll be seated with me in heavenly places. So therefore the authority of the Lord has been given unto thee. And yea, be strong and do exploits. For a man's gift will make room for him and take him before great men. Therefore I have equipped you well, and you have come into the glory of the spiritual divine abilities of the Son of the living God. And my peace shall go before thee, for you've just begun. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. We have a few minutes. Anybody that has not been ministered to, if you have not been ministered to, because we do have a schedule.
Look, Chuck, you're saying, Kappa, or Omanetti Uso, that is the fifth, that means the foundation is now an existing. And all of us, right? Using the ending of the Greek word.
Say that again, the foundation.
The ending of the Greek word.
No, I don't think that's it. I can't think of that word, but it is the word for foundation of the world. It's right on the tip of my... But it means conception. It means... Kata means casting down at that time, and that's when Genesis 1-2 happened. Boy, I thought I'd never forget that word. I'll go get it. It's in the Companion Bible and others, but it means that at the great climax of the separation and the church split, if you can call it that, in heaven. Then God began to seal. When he got Lucifer out of the way, then he began to deal with the Word. And now we're the ones that will take Lucifer's place, the bride will. And we'll lead the angels in praise forevermore. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'll find that for you. And if I find it before we're through eating, well, I'll tell you what. I know that. It's Cosmos. Kata Bole. B-O-L-E. I'm sorry. It's Kata Bole. There's two words. Kata, write this down. K-A-T-A. B-O-L-E. Thank you, Lord. Did you put that? Is it still on? Catabole, and then Cosmos, spelled with a K. K-O-S-M-O-S. And it means the casting down of Lucifer, Bole, conception of the blood, Cosmos, it will affect the earth, the society on the earth. Not just the earth. There was a society on the earth. They were destroyed, and they're the disembodied spirits of today. Hallelujah. Any more questions? Yes?
I hear a lot of different beliefs on this, but I'm going to tell you. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, can you be, could you have a demon inside you?
Well, I would certainly think so, because... The word fill there means, as I said, there's a progress. The Holy Ghost, in that word that Stephen used, when he says, what house will you prepare me? Where's the place that I can rest? So the Holy Ghost comes upon us and to deliver, and as we yield to the Holy Ghost, then there's certain effects of demonic power. I was filled with the Spirit and still did not have that release. I just couldn't minister. I would be afraid of the people. I pastored, and Brother Joe Williams said, there's been a demon up there on your forehead from your mother. I knew exactly then what, because Mom had always told me, well, her sister, older sister, always beat her down and always said her kids would mount something and Mama's wouldn't. And see, I didn't know anything about that, but the Holy Ghost revealed it. Yeah.
Well, we occupy the whole world, especially Jerusalem. No one's going to heaven that doesn't have Jesus Christ, and the Jew don't have Jesus Christ. Looks like we'd occupy Jerusalem.
Well, it's coming.
Thank God.
I tell you what, if you're like me, I get frustrated a little bit. I want everything done yesterday, but God's a little more patient and merciful. Boy, I'd have gave a gospel karate chop to a lot of things. Set them right. I've been pastoring, you know, for years, and I'd like to just, you know, really shape up or ship out. But the Lord is quite merciful. And the Holy Spirit, and really I don't want it to be a spiritual saying right now, is that Jesus just told me, son, give them grace and space. Don't get upset. Give them grace and space. I was so frustrated in the ministry. I come from one of those board meetings, you know, and I pastor the church. Those boards, you know, they criticize this and that. And one guy didn't like it because he put a broom in the restroom to trap me, and the broom was still there. See, he said, you don't even clean the restrooms. Well, we paid somebody to do that. You know, I mean, I didn't think that's what I was called to do, although I certainly would do it and did do it. But they just... They concoct things, you know. And boy, I was so wore out, weary and well-doing. Got home, Mary Ann was with the quilting ladies, and I just sat there, and they used that to get at me. They got through Mary Ann. They'd argue with the girl. Or, you know, little things, you know. This isn't done, that's not done, or that was. So anyway, we were at a place in our young ministry. I just said, Lord, when are you going to give me something I enjoy? I sat down on the floor, pulled my knees up, and Jesus. Now, I didn't, I think I was so scared. I didn't want to look at him, but I didn't see his face. He just came. He was in a normal Western clothes. He sat down with me and pulled his knees up. And the Holy Ghost nudged me. Now, oh, this is exciting. If you can get to where you just love the Father to speak, you know, and open the Word to you, and Jesus, you know, oh, it's just wonderful. The Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost will nudged me and said, you're in for it. Because I was ready to give, you know, I was ready to give up. And the Holy Ghost says, oh. In other words, I'm going to stand away from it. It wasn't that bad, but he said, you're in for it. And I didn't say a word, you know. Boy, I closed my eyes. He said, why do you think they put the crown of thorns? Either very tenderly. He didn't say it out loud. He just said to my spirit, I knew. Why do you think that they put the crown of thorns on my head? And I said, Lord, I don't feel like another sermon, you know. I mean, I thought maybe he's helping me with a sermon. I said, well, you know, I spoke to him. Said, well, you said you were king and they were just ridiculing you. He said, that might be so, but the Father did not let one thing happen to me that was not for the benefit of my people. Boy, that's really... And then I melted, you know, and Spirit of God said, here it comes. He said, when Adam fell, or I had to discard Adam out of the garden, he said, Adam tilled the ground, the thorn and thistle by the sweat of his brow. Now that's why they put the crown of thorns on me, to take away from my people the curse of toiling and being weary and well-doing. Hallelujah. So he said, I don't want you. I don't want to hear you whine. And I've come close to it many times. He's let that go by.
So good to be with you, Glenn, Irma. We bless you. We just thank God for Irma. We just bless her today. Come on up, honey. Help her. Help her, Butch. Hallelujah. Ora masile barrasimota. Jemara poco boshongeli biati. For I've given you the strength many times. You didn't know the strength that you have in me. Because you, as Samuel, and spoke that his words would not fall to the ground. And as Samson took the gates of the city on his shoulder, you've opened up many a city, oh, many of life, and many of a person has been helped because of my strength. Now the strength of the Lord will touch you, my daughter, and you will see the anointing of my divine presence. Andala varandai. We loose the miracle. Yes. The Lord. Bless Irma, we pray. Loose that glory. And through the generations of your father and of others that have stood by the cross, you have stood by the stuff and you have kept the faith. And my people shall rejoice, for the day of the Lord is at hand. And yea, my daughter, be strong in me and let thy mind be stayed on me, for great peace is upon you. Do not worry, do not be concerned. The day of the Lord is within thee, and you will speak my joy and my purpose, for you have laid the foundation. Now others are building by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Many are set free. Hallelujah. Lord, we just praise you today. Let your anointing be upon this vessel in great strength and healing power. Amen. Oh, thank you. We thank you, Irma, dear. We praise you. Amen. Hallelujah. You could almost say, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. To some of you that have interceded and prayed, you're the standing armies of Israel. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. I bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Well, we'll turn it to any more. Is that it? Because others might want. All right. We'll be dismissed. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.